They're back.
It's sports all around the clock. Sports all the time.
He's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is The Tailgate.
But, I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross-country runner to you? Playing against the top tier teams in the nation.
You sure it's not top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
Oh, how's it? We got late inning action in Palo Alto. The Lady Penguins coming all the way back and stunning NDNU. Brand new tailgate right now. Let's go.
So I'm on my phone right now, and I'm looking at the game, and Oregon just scored on 4th and goal, from the Stanford 12, and then kicked the extra point to make it 20-26 with 2:12 in the fourth. Needless to say, my stomach is in my throat at this point. You were mocking me not 5 minutes ago about me being
too
nervous.
Keep the faith, son. Keep the faith.
I have the faith, but I also understand that Oregon can score 26 points in about 3 minutes, which they literally just did. And now,
are they leading yet?
No.
Exactly.
So I'm really waiting to just throw my phone out the window because, you know, the onside – oh, I'm sorry. Stanford just recovered the onside kick with about 2 minutes and change to play, so –
it's over.
Well
– it's over.
I hope so.
See,
because, ladies and gentlemen, if indeed Stanford wins this game and we are live, we're going to have to just turn my mic off because I'm about to go crazy. I'm going to lose my mind. It's going to be wild.
Huge drama in Palo Alto. A big night, really, for if you like late drama, if you like the comeback kids story, the Lady Penguins coming all the way back. You heard that game live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and they stun the Argonauts from NDNU down 2-0. They come roaring back 3 in a row. The Oregon Ducks making a late push, but it looks like if the Trees keep on playing that shutdown defense that they've had for the majority of the game, except for maybe 3 or 4 series, they're going to skip away with a win here. And to be honest, you're looking at a BCS shakeup that we haven't seen in a long time. But that is why you love college football.
Exactly. We were talking about this earlier. Knock on wood here, fellas. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you've listened to this show at all, you know how big of a Oregon hater that I am. So knock on wood about this one. We got about 2 minutes left. But we've been talking that if Stanford wins this game, they go to 3? We were talking about this because Ohio State has not yet lost, so they are at 4. Stanford is at 5. I think if Oregon loses this game, they go to at least 6 or 7, because Baylor won tonight against a very talented Oklahoma team that was ranked 10th in the nation.
Not just one, absolutely
crushed.
Dominated.
Absolutely crushed.
Dominated.
So this really has a top 8 shakeup. If you want to get technical, Oregon could drop all the way out of the top 10 with a loss. Just based off of, you know, who's everybody, like, strength of schedule. They haven't played really. I mean, I know they played the Huskies, and that's a, you know, best team in the nation, no doubt. But they haven't really played anybody outside of Stanford this year. That's been really solid competition, and they lost. So that could be a huge implication for them in a BCS game. Not even national championship at this point. It could be a BCS, you know, Sugar Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Rose Bowl, what have you. That could be a huge implication for them moving forward past this year. I had them dropping to roughly 6. What do you think if they lose this game?
I think right now you have them right in the middle of the pack. I don't think they drop as low as 8 or 10 or even drop out, but they're definitely in danger. This is it. I mean, a lot of people said they win this game, it's a foregone conclusion. Let me throw this stat at you here. Stanford has won 14 straight home games and has beaten Oregon in each of the last 2 seasons. And ladies and gentlemen, that includes tonight. The Ducks have fallen.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Let's go, Stanford. Go, Trees. Woo-hoo! Go, baby, go!
That's Brock Beal.
I'm so excited right now, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Brock Beal. My name's Hunter Hornstein. You're listening to The Tailgate every Thursday night, 9 to 10 o'clock, final season here on Penguin Radio. And tonight it has been, if you're not only, and most of our listeners are within the Washington area, or at least they all have a common goal. They either love the Oregon Ducks, because we have a few of those listeners, or they absolutely hate them. There's no in-between. And so you've got one night that encompasses both of those fans. One, very jovial and happy. The other is probably crying and going to moan and complain and bitch about why they lost the game and not really taking responsibility for the fact they just got beat by another physical team. And that is continually what haunts the Oregon Ducks. And then the other half of our listeners are Lady Penguin or Penguin Athletic fans. And the Dominican volleyball team came all the way back from 2-0. They won. We're going to have a couple of those players here in the studio later on tonight. Really a huge night within the last hour and 5 minutes of sports action. And it's all coming to you live here on Penguin Radio on The Tailgate.
We're still live.
You're out of breath.
I'm out of breath. I thought we were going to break. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reemphasize that Stanford just beat Oregon. I can't quite get tired of saying that yet. I want to throw a shout out to all my Oregon friends, because I know that they're like sobbing and drowning their own tears right now. And you know what? That just makes my heart so happy. I'm just so excited right now. I can't even comprehend, because they still have no national championships and they're not going to get one this year. All's well. Mariota, you go to the NFL, man. Go get your money. Get out of the Pac-12. See you later. Don't worry about it. Go play for friggin', I don't know, Tampa Bay right now. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
26.
Go home. Go away.
26-20, your final in Palo Alto. And that's kind of been a place where it's sneaky tough to play. The running back, Gaffney, had 45 carries for 157 yards. He did add a touchdown. Really just a dominating effort by a very physical, very good Stanford Cardinal team. And if there's one knock on Oregon besides the fact that you have 731 uniform combinations yet zero championships, it would be that they can't match up against a physical, strong defense. And that's always what seems to be the downfall. It proved here again tonight.
Yeah, I think that Oregon prides itself on being fast and flashy and all these, you know, quick plays. And Stanford really just lined up against them and said, you know what, no, and punched them square in the mouth. And that's really what was the deciding factor in the game. Oregon tried all these, you know, quick plays. They had a couple injuries early on. I think Mariota went down, you said, early on in the game. I didn't quite see that play. He was out for a couple series, led to a costly turnover, which Stanford got some points on. But, you know, just Oregon not being able to line up against big, strong physical teams really has been their downfall. You know, they do great against, you know, the Washington team, which is a little bit undersized. They'll do well against Oregon State on the 29th, which is, I believe, their next ranked competition. They've done well against all these smaller teams that they can physically push around. But when they lined up against a team that is just bare knuckle, down to earth, ready to play, they've never been able to get over that hump. You saw that in the national championship a couple years ago against Auburn, SEC team, that was really just a physical, offensive line, defensive line dominated team. You would see that hypothetically against Alabama. We won't get that opportunity, probably, hopefully, in the national championship game. And you know what? I think that is what separates the top three from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 all the way up, is that they can spread the field out, but they can also come up and punch you in the mouth and score points that way. It just, whatever it takes to win. And you know what? Oregon just didn't have what it took to win tonight. They just couldn't line up and play man-to-man solid offense or defense against Stanford tonight.
So what you get when you go up against a senior team almost, the Cardinal, 15 seniors, I believe, on that, what I heard on that team. And that is a gritty 4 years worth of veteran presence there. And they've got to say what they said on the telecast tonight, they got a bad attitude. That is a hard-nosed team and really a huge win all up and down college football. And this is starting – you're starting to see now, here's the season where that happens. This is going to happen more often. I mean, we're nowhere near the big upsets coming to fruition. I mean, you're going to see this next week. We got, what, 3 more weeks left to go. You know, it's going to be very exciting. One constant, though, Roll Tide, the Bama Crimson Tide up there at the top. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, we're going to hit the other big game that happened tonight. Huge game at the Collins Center. The Lady Penguins coming off their road trip from Hawaii. They're in the Collins Center here tonight. They won after down 2-0. A huge win. Huge win against the NDNU Argonauts, who have been longtime rivals for us for a long time. And they come out with the win tonight. And we'll try to get some reaction by a couple of volleyball players here live on the tailgate. That's Brock Beal. My name's Hunter Hornstein. You're listening to the best damn tailgate that you've ever had. We'll be right back.
I'll admit we're trying to sell out, so just try and understand us. We never compromise ourselves so we can gain status. Love it on the radio, they calling and demand us. Addicted to the way that all these girls are looking at us. I get it that you hate us cause our attitudes are cocky. But just know that I act that way cause nobody can stop me. So come and get your girlfriend and tell her to get off me. Boy, I got some work to do, somebody brew some coffee. And if your man is hating on us, tell him we don't need him. Just know he wishes he could be like everything. Inspired by reality, when I'm awake I'm dreaming. Cause I want it so bad. I'm too deep and won't go back. From now on I don't hold back. And I need you to know that it ain't over, it just started. So I'm asking you to pardon all my attitude, I'm sorry. We've been working so damn hard and we already got the honeys. I want Grammys,
anyway you spin it. I just need to know he did it, doing things the way we think they should be done.
Oh, welcome back to the show, The Tailgate, live with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornsey. That's Brock Beal. My name's Hunter. Brock, say hi.
Go Stanford.
Oh, let me.
No.
There we go.
Well, then. You just don't want me to talk at all tonight.
I hate it when you talk. You know
hey,
that.
Go Stanford. Shout out again. Go Trees.
The Ducks fell. The
go
Ducks
Dogs
fell.
And go Trees.
The Ducks fell, and there will be no need to get that ring finger sized up in Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, which is really. Just
a bad place.
Awful place to
It's really
live,
a horrible place
to, be,
to go to.
You got broken ellipticals out in your front yard. It's just, it's a bad, bad place. Yeah, I don't know if you want to go there for more than 4 years, more than four minutes.
48 hours is pretty much the cutoff for that place.
It's a bad, bad place, and it got a little bit worse tonight because... you got a lot of sad, sad Duck fans that
and I love it.
Really thought they were going to come in and just kind of take care of a very physical Stanford team, but unfortunately, that or fortunately for those for most
we,
of us, that is not going to be.
We mentioned
the
this.
Case.
We mentioned this over the break, and I just want to throw this out. Hogan, the Stanford quarterback, has beaten Oregon his freshman and sophomore season now 2 years in a row. He got the start last year, kind of last minute. And has really, you know, taken over that team. And 2 years in a row, last year in Eugene, which was much more of a miracle game for that program than it was tonight. But to beat that caliber of a team 2 years in a row, especially as a freshman or a sophomore in college, is really, I think, a really impressive stat. That's really, really impressive. So shout out to him. Love you. Go Dogs and go Trees. We love it.
You see the story here. It was on Deadspin today. This is a little bit of a change of pace. And by change of pace, I mean from going to college football, one of the most storied programs ever, and we're going down to high school ball. So we're gradually making our way down the ladder.
Nothing wrong with high school ball. Love some high school ball.
We've got. We might have to bring back that obscure mascot of the week.
This is almost a combination between obscure mascot of the week and the goat of the week because it's not
pretty,
very good.
It's pretty fantastic. You've seen the movie Jarhead, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Where they go in that one scene where you've got that one. I can't remember his name. Normally,
the crazy guy.
He, you know, the guy that's kind of a little uppity there, trying a little too trigger happy. They're digging their holes, and we're not talking about the movie Holes. We're just talking about Jarhead. Mm-hmm. They're digging their holes. The oil's coming out and whatnot. And this guy, one of the privates or Marines, the Jarheads, finds the skeleton of one of them, puts the hat on, puts the goggles on, calls it Ahab the Arab.
Right.
And you know that's not too
it's
tasteful.
It's a little touchy.
It's a little yeah. That might be a
sensitive a trifle
subject.
Touchy, if you will.
Now imagine if you had Ahab the Arab, and you dressed him up and you made him your mascot.
Yeah, you thought the Redskins was bad.
You made him your
that's
mascot.
That's pretty bad.
I mean,
that's real bad.
We're talking here in Coachella Valley High School.
Oh well,
and
that's all you got to know right there. Is it's in Coachella Valley, California? Isn't that where the music festival Coachella is? That am I wrong? Is that correct? I'm not from here, but that sounds pretty familiar. Am I right?
You've got. Well,
it's a little
I mean,
off.
It's if you've ever been to a music festival, you're not necessarily seeing the most on people in the world. However, we're digressing. That's beyond the point. We've got a mascot who, if you really wanted to go for a stroll, we're looking at a picture. If you really wanted to stretch it, you could make a case that it's the guy that makes your pizza at the local Italian restaurant.
Yeah, he's got a great mustache.
Just, you know, you could even try to say maybe it's a grown-up, what's the guy from Aladdin, because he's got the get-up there, but... We're talking, this is a guy, not necessarily a guy, I should say.
A person,
we're not
a person,
we're not
a human
we're
being.
Not gonna treat him, we're not going to treat him such because he's a mascot. Coachella Valley High School are the Arabs, which, okay, I don't want to go out and say that this is blasphemous. However,
well,
this
there's
school,
way worse mascots that could be.
Yeah,
I mean,
this school is getting... is getting a lot of flack, I should say. Because, I mean, you've got your cheerleaders with Arabs across the front. The mascot, you've got this sinister-looking, you know, really evil smile, kind of like the Joker almost.
Yeah,
like
he's got a pretty gnarly Joker smile going on.
He's got the Jack Nicholson smile going on. You know, it's the chant is "Let's go, Arabs, let's go." It's just it's a little.
I mean, the only thing that I have with the only problem I have with this really. It's not the name Arabs. Like, that's actually a pretty cool high school, like, mascot name. Like, Arabs. Like, Papermakers, Bruins, what have you. But Arabs is not necessarily bad for me, but I think that the idea that you name your mascot Ahab the Arab is a little is a little off to me. I mean, there's so many different ideas you could go with that. I mean, you could have a really cool, like, sword brandishing, like, fighter, like, warrior. You could have, like, a camel would be okay. We've had a camel on here before for obscure mascot of the week. I can't remember what it was called.
I mean, we've had a scrotum on the show.
And that was tasteful.
I just don't know. I mean, apparently the school is getting a ton of flack.
I'm actually...
A lot of flack about this. They're being attacked by the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee. They sent a letter. They need to change the school name. They need to get rid of the mascot. They call it a, quote, a harmful form of ethnic stereotyping, which should be eliminated, unquote. My question is that, yes, I mean, we have some listeners coming in now. We have some listeners coming in now that are saying they've had it for hundreds of years. Why is this a big deal? Everyone's just too sensitive, America. I don't know if it's so much... I don't know if we're too sensitive. I think we might be over, we might be reaching now for different, I mean, well, at this point, nothing's really safe. Unless your mascot's maybe, I don't know, a penguin or the Pelicans or a dog. Nothing's really safe.
Yeah, but I see on the bottom of the screen here, we have some different renditions of what the mascot could look like. And I think that there's, what, five of them there? I think that those are all much, much, much better than what the school picked out. And I'm not sure if that's just an artist renditioning of what could be or what, you know, would be more acceptable. But those all look pretty standard or acceptable to me. You see this as the Washington Redskins right now. I'm going to throw this back to the NFL a little bit. And people are saying, you know, oh, Redskins, that's derogatory, blah, 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 blah. But there's a large number of Native Americans. I actually just did a paper on this. Shout out to Brad Van Alstine's class, that say, you know, Redskins is not necessarily bad because the logo that they use is not like the Cleveland Indians, Chief Wahoo, where it's, you know, crazy Native American with his tongue sticking out. The Redskins logo is like a noble Native American chief. And I think that this is more towards the Cleveland Indians side of the case where, you know, the mascot just really is distasteful. I don't think it's so much the name.
They could have done a better job, absolutely. I think the argument is that you're paying homage, that you're paying respect to Middle Eastern culture. However, you do such a thing, there comes a sense of responsibility making your mascot not look like some, you know, villain coming out of our cartoon.
Exactly.
That you know, is going to throw evil fairy dust on you. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy looks, he doesn't look like they're paying homage or respect. I mean, I think you could have done the costume a little better.
Yeah, exactly. I think that
you're going with the stereotype.
The idea is there, but the execution is poor, I think is what we're ultimately trying to say. The idea of, you know, saluting a culture and saluting a heritage, which is really a proud heritage. I mean, if you go back way, way back, it's one of the earliest cultures in the world. I think that that's a great idea, and I don't have anything wrong with that, but just the execution and the attention to detail that went in to the mascot itself was lacking considerably because you look at it. I mean, we keep saying this, you look at it and it just doesn't look like a friendly mascot. And there were so many better ideas that they could have done for that. And so many ways that they could have made that mascot really a proud and authentic representation of what that culture is all about. Not getting into anything about religion or anything like that, but there's so many proud traditions that go along with that culture and that style of life that they could have tapped into. And I just don't think that that mascot captures it at all.
You're talking about culture a little bit, and let's, I hate to always bumper, you know, a negative story or something with another negative story. But, you know, we weren't. I think this needs to be said because it's in the media so much, and it's the Richie incognita fiasco that's going on down in South Beach with Miami and the Dolphins. More statements, more awful quotes coming out of this case, which just started on Monday, so it's almost a week old.
It's gonna get
a lot worse than it gets better. You and I haven't necessarily talked a whole lot about it together. You know, different media is going to write different things. Different fan bases are going to think the same way. But some of these words, I get. You know, I think you get the hazing part. That's going to be part of sports. It just is. But Christ Almighty, I mean, some of this stuff is. I'm reading for the first time this new statement that just came out, and it's a quote from a teammate. Well, I don't know. I don't know about this one.
Yeah, it's very, you know what I think is very interesting about this situation is how opposite some of the quotes are. You have quotes that you see from some of the Miami Dolphin players that are backing Incognito and saying, you know, no, he's a great guy, you know, he's one of us. Like, we love him. He's a leader on this team, blah, 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 what have you. But then you see some of the things that he said, that Incognito said in some of these text messages and voicemails, I believe, emails perhaps, and what other players have said around the league about him. And it's really interesting to see how far people will go to cover up one of their friends. And I'm not sure if the Miami Dolphins are trying to cover for one of their friends or one of their teammates, but it's starting to kind of look like it's not all sunshines and rainbows, if you will. Just based off of how the stories are lining up and what teammates are saying about, oh, he's not a racist, blah, 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 and the voicemails and the texts and what is being recorded of him saying to people, it's just not really lining up to me. And like you said, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But I think, you know, I think that he might actually come out of this. As horrible as that is to say, and as bad as I feel to say that, Incognito might actually come out of this not ahead, but not out of the league forever. Because you look at what happened to Riley Cooper, it's pretty close to the same situation, minus the bullying factor. You still have the race card being played in there. You still have all of that negativity that goes along with that.
Riley Cooper isn't harassing somebody.
That's what I'm saying.
If you only take the race factor, you're doing a disservice to what's going on to Jonathan Martin. This is harassment. This doesn't go just beyond calling you some name. This is beyond harassment. This is not Incognito calling Warren Sapp the N-word on the field. You know, Warren Sapp said that earlier on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week. That's not that happens. That's gonna you're spewing words. That's Riley Cooper. He's spewing words. This is harassment. These are texts. These are phone calls that you are consciously making to another human being, another teammate, what's supposed to be your brother. And I get Miami saying tough him up because he missed that voluntary practice. They say, hey, we get him in line a little bit. There is a way to do it where you know what your coaches are talking about, and then there's just psychoticness. This is sad because I refuse to read what this last statement from a teammate. Now, I'm not saying I don't know if this is Incognito himself, but as a teammate, a quote from a teammate, it's in the statement that his lawyer, Jonathan Martin's lawyer, sent out. I refuse to even read this because, I mean, I don't have a sister, but if I had a teammate talk to her or talk to me about her in this fashion, send me to jail because I'll kill you. That is ridiculously, inexcusably disrespectful.
And one of the things I think is interesting, again, is that it appears that he was told to, in quotes, toughen up Martin. And yet the Dolphins knew that Incognito had a history of being a little bit off. And obviously, he was drafted by the Rams, I believe, in 2007, 2008. I'm not quite sure. It was 81st overall pick in his draft. He's had a history of being just a little bit off, and I think that if you really want to toughen a guy up, you need to ask the right person. And obviously, this is not the right person to ask, clearly. I mean, that goes without saying. This is not the right person to ask to do that job because he took it to a whole nother level. But I think that it goes down to who ultimately has the say of what gets done in the locker room. Is it the coaches or the players?
It's absolutely your coach. That is what he's there for. You know, yes, these are grown men. Yes, these are athletes. A lot of it police themselves on the field. You hear a lot about that. Taking care of stuff internally. But if your coach is okay with standing idle and standing by and letting things get out of control, no chance. Your coach is there to, if things get escalated, bring it back in. Remain focused. What's the goal? To win. What's the goal? To win a Super Bowl. To win a World Series. Win an NBA title. You stay focused on that goal. If you don't, if you have lack of institutional control and you're letting things go willy-nilly, if you're letting your starting pitcher not in the games that he's not pitching, go out with the other pitchers and cause havoc in the clubhouse, drinking beer and eating chicken, however funny that may sound, you don't have institutional control. If you are letting a player of yours get harassed by another player, you do not have control of your locker room. You do not have control of your clubhouse. That's what you're there for.
Yeah, and I think, no, I agree with you. But at the same time, he's coaching an NFL team.
He's
not coaching.
That's not the point.
But the point is, he shouldn't have to be.
No, he doesn't have
in the locker room all the time.
He doesn't have to be. Okay, here's an example. Not to the extent, but here's an example. The Pittsburgh Steelers tried to internally handle their situation with the rookies while they were losing all those games. They're still losing, by the way. They were trying to fix that by saying, rookies, you can't play these games before game. You know, that was the message sent by the veterans. What it did is started dividing the clubhouse. Mike Tomlin steps in as the coach and says, no, nobody's going to play. I'm putting my foot down. Because he sees that the turmoil is happening. There's differences within the clubhouse. I realize this is an NFL team. You're out there. It's not a hold-hand sport. You're getting hit. You know, there's people yelling at you. But we're talking about human beings at the bottom line. You want to talk about how these guys are superhumans? They're not. They're human beings. Everyone handles emotions differently. I don't care who you are. You could be the most hard-nosed NFL player out there. People handle emotions differently. It's up to the coach to know the chemistry of his team, to know which players can be pushed. Some guys thrive off that.
That's for sure.
Some guys thrive off that. Other guys, you know how to push them without technically pushing them. That makes you know how to get to your players.
Yeah.
You understand the chemistry of your clubhouse, of your locker room. That is a coach's responsibility. I don't care if it's the NFL. I get what you're saying, but don't make that an excuse just because, oh, these are NFL guys. They should be able to police themselves. No. Where is the hierarchy in your clubhouse? Who's in charge of the team? The head coach. It's a hierarchy.
What I think will be really critical in this case is that if indeed it is made clear that he was told by coaches to do this, but then was not monitored by the coach or coaches that told him to do this.
Oh, everyone's in trouble in that organization.
Oh, they're all gone.
They're gone. No, absolutely.
And Coach Philbin came in front of the media today and said, you know, I really had no idea about this, blah, 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 blah. And based off of what you're saying, and I completely agree with you, based off of what you're saying is that they should have complete control. They should have iron fist control over that program. If he had no idea that this was even happening, he should be on the first bus out of town. He needs to be gone. First of all, they're in the playoff hunt. Whatever. Okay, it's still the Miami Dolphins. They suck.
If they win a couple of games, I think you clear house. You have to. You can keep some of your players. Martin might come back. Richie Incognito, he's
gone. I think Martin's done. I think he'll never come back.
I wouldn't close the book on him necessarily.
I'm sorry. I don't think he'll come back for Miami.
No chance.
No, he's gone for Miami. He's going to collect his money and collect a workers' comp for harassment or whatever it is, and he's going to move on and take a big contract somewhere else because he's a talented player.
You got to clean house with that organization.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between cleaning house and ridding yourself of cancerous people in the organization. The coaches.
You got to hold people responsible. Where the hierarchy go? I mean, you're going to see your offensive line coaches, coordinators, they're gone.
Exactly.
You're going to see your head coaches gone. I think you might even take the GM spot might be in trouble right now, I think. I don't think necessarily the entire front office, I don't think you say you're gone.
Well,
but
because
the front office doesn't really have that much to do with it. The top figureheads are in trouble. I'm talking GMs,
head coaches, positions coaches.
I think you got to watch out for your
strength coaches.
I think you got to watch out for your seat a little bit.
Do you think you're talking about players as well? Besides the two players that are involved right now, Martin and Incognito, are you talking about other players? Because sometimes to me, that seems a little bit unfair.
That's what the investigation's for. And again, it's very
exactly.
early. It's been 4 days. It's really early.
We're
going to see a lot more of this. Who knows what other stuff is going to come out? Who knows what text messages are going to come? You know, but right now, right off the get-go, when this story broke and the details came out,
it looked real bad.
The top people they're in trouble. They're in big time trouble.
Anytime your program or franchise goes into the media for negative attention, the head people automatically have to be on job alert because that's the first thing to go. Is the figureheads are the first thing to go. Obviously, Incognito. Boom, his name is all over everything. He's gone. Martin, he resigned. He's done. So the next thing will be, where does the fault lie? Where does the blame go? And who's going to be the scapegoat? Because there's going to be a scapegoat. And if it's not Incognito, which it looks like right now it's going to be, but if it's not all on him, and if he was assigned this position, if you will, or if he was told to do this task, whoever assigned that or whoever led that charge, they're done. And they will never play they will never have a position in the NFL again. And if Incognito is done with Miami and it comes out later that, he's a little bit out there. He's a little bit crazy. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he was doing it under direct orders from a coach. Some team's going to pick him up for a steal because nobody's going to want to touch that for at least another year. And next offseason, he could go for practically nothing, and somebody's going to get a steal out of that.
That's the nature of what the NFL has become, and it's a business. It makes money. What does Richie Incognito do? He makes money. He plays well. He makes money. That's why he still has jobs. It's a business. But right now, I'm more surprised that we haven't really heard whole many statements from the NFL on this matter.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we haven't heard a strong voice from Goodell or the front office.
It's a lot of hush-hush.
You know what it really is? Is they're saying, you know what? That's a team matter. That is not the NFL. That is a team matter. And that's almost a bigger statement than them actually coming out and saying anything because they're saying, you're on your own. We don't condone that. And that is all on you guys. That is your problem to fix. Goodell's not going to touch that because that's not his problem. That happened in your locker room. That happened on your practice field. That happened between your players and your coaches. That's not the league's problem. The league's problem is pay, safety of players. Well, I guess this kind of falls under safety of players, but on-field safety of players. Goodell's basically saying, you know what? No, I'm out. I'm good. I've got enough on my plate right now other than worrying about what some dude for the Miami Dolphins said to some other dude from the Miami Dolphins. I'm out. You guys figure it out, and when the time's right, I'm going to lay down my law based off what you guys say. But right now, I'm going to let you guys do what you need to do to figure this out because it's unacceptable.
You mentioned earlier that Richie Incognito probably wasn't the right guy to go and tell and give this authority to. Details are emerging about him and his prior issues with appropriateness and whatnot. I mean, we're talking a woman who volunteered in an annual golf tournament said that she was touched inappropriately by him. She said that was a while ago. And just, here's a quote, emptying bottled water in her face, unquote. Again, not necessarily the best guy if you want to give him kind of a loose horse to go and go and ride.
Yeah, I think that we need to find out how this information was passed to Incognito. If it was, a player to player or a player to coach, or a coach speaking to a group of players maybe, and he took it upon himself to do this, I think that's really going to say a lot about what happens here. Because if it was one coach to just incognito, or a group of coaches to just one player, that's a whole nother ballgame. But if they were in a meeting room or in a discussion about this or about this player, and they said, you know, we really need to toughen him up, and incognito said, oh, light bulb, I know the perfect way to do that. Bing, here we go. That's really going to be a huge difference maker, I think, in how this whole thing plays out. Was it his understanding of the rule, or was it a coach's interpretation of what he wanted to do that's really going to end up deciding his career and how this whole thing moves forward?
It's definitely going to get worse before it gets better, and we're definitely going to keep an eye on that. We'll probably be, you know, checking in on that for weeks to come here on the tailgate. We're about to take another timeout. When we come back, the ladies women's volleyball team, huge night at the Collins Center, and a huge rally and a huge win over NDNU. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back.
Everything is gold. Everything is equal. Posted on the porch, just chilling, me and my people. Eyelids closed, gold sun shines on. The world's coated in a gold Krylon, yeah. And these days, they never run away. Gold tints, shades that block out that golden haze. For a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit, me get up. First shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy yet. Glad, moonwalking. And this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music. I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT shit hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four-track bussin'. Halfway across that city with the back crushing. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back? I know you're used to the same old same, but we ain't floating that boat. No, we ain't riding that train.
All right, welcome back to the tailgate, the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Hunter Hornstein alongside Brock Beal every Thursday night, 9 to 10. Oh, the Lady Penguins, huge win tonight, Brock. They fell down early 2-0, 26-28, then 21-25. They roared all the way back, though, won three in a row, backs up against the wall, must wins in all three of them, and they come back and win 25-13, 25-14, and finally in set number five, 16-14. They really just took care of business at that point, and really a huge win for them coming off that road trip. Prior to the road trip, they had won seven straight. Good times are rolling for the Lady Penguins.
Yeah, you know, I was there for games two through five. Wow, seven. Because I know so much about volleyball, right? Two through five. I'm only dating one of them. It's whatever. And, you know, just to see them come back after that, those first two losses and then win three in a row is really impressive, because in years past and even this season, we've talked about it on the show, once they're down, you know, one or two games, it really starts to fall apart. And yeah. I think that they showed their maturity tonight and that they're able to come together and really fight through diversity and pull out with a tough win against an opponent that they swept 3-0 at NDNU just a few short weeks ago.
Brock, what you're saying sounds great. But really, what do you know? You think that there's seven matches in a volleyball match.
I know literally about volleyball.
We'll go from there.
All I do at volleyball is sit next to Sean Donahue and listen to what he says and just repeat and clap.
We've got a
repeat and clap, ladies and gentlemen. Repeat and clap.
We've got a couple of volleyball players in the studio right now. Sam Rains and Becca Shira in here on the tailgate. Guys, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nice to win, beat them. I wish it was a sweep again, but wasn't our night.
You just wanted to make it exciting for us, didn't you?
I did. I did. That was my personal goal, and you know the team just jumped on board with that.
That's great. We really appreciate that as spectators. We really want to just see a really great match.
No,
what we want to see.
It would have been better if we had sweeped them just like we did to Holy Names and whatnot. But heyo, next time.
That's
next
how it
year.
Goes. You know, at least you guys won.
At least we won.
At least you didn't get swept in three.
What
hey,
was it,
negative.
What was it about being down 2-0, or maybe not even being down 2-0, but what was it that clicked and for you guys to sustain that? And really in set five, it looked like you guys took over completely.
It was reality check that the first two matches or the first two games were so close. And we swept this team the first time. Like, I don't think they even got 10 points against us. And then I don't know what happened, but it just – we went in our room and had, like our halftime, our break, and it was kind of like our team realized that we need to come together as a team and stop being individuals and selfish. Like, it was kind of like we had a breakdown before, and we were recovering from the breakdown.
What did Stammer say to you guys in that intermission?
Becca, what all did she say to us? She was basically telling us that that we know how to play as a team and we just need to do our thing. And we do this drill in practice. So we basically were going to play like we were playing in that drill. Like she couldn't really tell us anything. Like,
do you think it was more of NDNU playing up to your guys' level?
Not
after
at all.
The first, you think you played down to their level a little bit?
Slow.
We definitely played down to their level, but you know what? They came out on fire. They wanted to beat us because we swept them pretty bad last time we played them. So they fought hard, but we should not have played down to their level, that's for sure.
So there's a little bit of a revenge factor, it sounds like, and that can be deadly in college sports especially, as we all
yes.
know. But it's good to see that you guys fought through. How do you guys think that tonight differs from games in the past where you guys have gone, you've won, you know, a set or two, and then all of a sudden you lose two in a row and it's game over basically because the fifth game you never show up? How is tonight different from nights in the past that have happened not only this season but historically for Penguin volleyball?
It wasn't so much that tonight was our team. I was having issues of communication and had our own like team. I don't even want to know, like, I don't know how to describe what it was, but basically like people were going mental and people were lashing out and being selfish and not working together as a team. And this time it's like we fix that and we realize, like, stop this. Like, it needs to end. And even if it's not perfectly fixed, like, our team was able to finish the match, and that's what matters more.
We came through and fought hard in the last set. We came back, what was it, like, 8-3, and we came back and tied it at 10 or 11.
And if you think about it, we only the middles only rotated in twice.
Yeah, it was a pretty...
It was just like it would go on runs, if that makes sense. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
It was definitely a very streaky match, if I'll say, because there was points where they would score 4 or 5 in a row. Sean and I were sitting in the stadium or stands just saying, that's literally 5 points in a row. What's going on? And then you guys would get the ball back somehow. You score a point and go on your own run of 4 or 5. Do you guys think that this, you only have 5 games, I believe, 4 games?
Three.
Oh,
left.
You have three homestands left?
No, we have... Are they all home?
No,
we have Fresno. Was your third. Fresno on Tuesday, and I think Academy of Art on Thursday, and then we have Azusa Pacific at home on Saturday.
Okay, so you have 3 games left. How do you think that tonight is going to affect the way you finish out the season? How does coming together tonight for the 5th set really affect how you guys play?
I think we need to do something else with our team, and I think that we need to be stronger before we play Fresno, because Fresno is a tough team. Even though their setter got deported, they are a strong team still. They are still very, very talented. So we need to, and we're going on the road again, so we need to win on the road and do work.
I think winning this 5th set tonight, though, kind of like motivated us, and I think we're going to go into Tuesday playing Fresno really fired up and wanting to win, and I think that'll help us a lot. But we definitely need to work hard and fight hard on Tuesday.
What have you guys learned this year, more than years past, just because the whole growth of this program is continuing to go upward? And again, like Brock mentioned earlier, there's no more of those 2 and outs, we're done. I mean, you guys are really battling and at times dominating other teams.
Yeah, and I think we have a lot more talent this year and last year than we have in the past. But I think also we've learned to play more as a team than as individuals, because in the past I feel like we played a lot as individuals, and that doesn't work out in a team sport. And we've definitely learned how to play as a team.
And with that team attitude, obviously you guys ripped off 7 big wins in a row that really, I think, have cemented your season this year. You guys were struggling, if I'll say it. I mean, I'm not trying to offend you guys. You guys were struggling. Hit 7 in a row. Then tonight, a big win after a couple losses in Hawaii. What does this say? You guys are both coming back next year, and I'm not looking forward to next year, but how does this season set you up for, Sam, your senior year, Becca, your junior year? How does this set you guys up for next season?
Becca, if you want to open up, I'll follow up.
You know what? It makes me really excited. I'm excited to see where the talent that we brought in this year and how much we grow over spring season and summer and come into next year. I'm excited personally. Like, our senior setter, who's our captain, this is her last year, and it's next year's my year. And I'm pumped. So I'm, yeah.
So. Okay. Thank you. I, as the only person, next year I will be the only person that started here and is going to finish here with my class. And it is weird to say that, yeah. And it's weird to say that, like, it needs to start now. It should have already been happening. Like, what we need to accomplish next year needs to come together as a team now. All the little things that add up over time need to be fixed now. They need to end with this season, whatever it is. And in the spring, we need to start and we need to go hard, because the burning passion, when you start with a team that never won, the first time I had a losing season was in college, to have that fire and just nobody knows where we came from. So I personally just want to emphasize that with the team, like where this started from, looking back, like even just 2 years ago, it was insane. A year ago was so different. So I'm just hoping that we turn a lot of things around and go forward from here.
You ever need a speech to be said before you go to war? Get Sam Brains, because that was almost as good as the Braveheart one.
Yeah, she'll get you going. She gets the blood going.
Yes.
Nobody knows what it means.
And she's such a nice girl, too.
She is. She's a great lady. Shout out, 2 years anniversary. Actually, we met on the tailgate. So just a little love.
Oh, are you guys cute?
So cute.
Spend our anniversary with all you
people.
That's literally how you got me to like give you my number.
I'm smart, you know. Comm majors are smart people. You know, it's what it is, what it is.
We're going to mute those mics now. Thank you for to Becca and Sam, though, for coming in. Congratulations on the wins, guys. Good luck against Fresno Pacific. And you guys coming back for two more games at the Conlin Center. Go to DominicanAthletics.com for those schedules. Those games can be heard, I believe it's a Friday and a Saturday. One's at 6 p.m., the other one at 3 o'clock on the Saturday. And those will be the senior night, and it'll finish it off for us here with volleyball season. So thanks to them for coming out, and happy anniversary. Okay, Brock, now it's time to find out what we messed up here on the tailgate as we just wrap it up. We're under 5 minutes here. It's we talked about this a lot kind of off air, and we've alluded to it on air. It was from our first season where we had the Don come on, and he kind of told us what we messed up, but really he kind of texted in and whatnot. He's in the studio today. Sean, what did we mess up?
So, Hunter, today you said that Stanford had 15 seniors. They actually have 34, believe it or not.
How many are starting?
Well.
Well, the roster doesn't say how many are starting, but they do have 34 seniors, whether or not they are redshirt seniors or seniors in general. Either way,
they've got the SR next to them. They're counting.
Hey, that's all that counts, man.
Either way, you know what?
But in football, that's different. I'm just going to throw. I'm going to defend Hunter a little bit. In football, 34 seniors is a lot different than having five seniors in lacrosse, where all five seniors should be starting, right? 34 seniors in football could be all across the board. Could be kickers, could be fifth-year quarterbacks, what have you. Sean, moving on, please. What did I script? Did I screw anything up, or am I perfect?
Brock, I'm sorry, but you did say that the girls' volleyball team went 7 games. You went on to correct yourself, but I still have to call that out. It went 5. Volleyball can only go 5 games. I'm sorry.
I'm optimistic. I just want to watch more volleyball. It's not my
seven
fault.
7 games.
Right?
Wow.
I just can't get enough. So okay? I'm addicted to the sport.
But I do have to commend you.
7-game series in baseball and in basketball. Why not volleyball, right?
We've already been through the World Series. I just get so confused. Numbers is not my strong suit, okay? I just don't know what's going on half the time.
But I do have to commend you on Richie Incognito. You said third round, 81st overall. Correct.
That's right.
Good for you.
Yeah. See, I know stuff like that. But the whole
7 games, pathetic.
Yeah, well, we all can't be perfect, Sean. You know,
That's all I have.
All of our hair can't be perfectly combed.
Thank you, Don. That'll do it.
I like that he makes us feel more human about this.
We're at 10 o'clock. Somebody's got to bust our ego a little bit,
you know,
right?
We just feel too good sometimes.
Somebody's got to bust our ego. Last minute of the tailgate, Brock, another show in the books. And this one kind of particularly good, I felt like.
Yeah, especially because Oregon lost. Shout out. Go Dogs. Yeah, that's what's up. That made the whole show. I don't care what else happened after the first 5 minutes because Oregon lost, and we're all good. All right? No more national championship hopes. They're gone.
No need to get that ring finger sized out.
I love it. Eugene, go back to sucking.
Will not need a championship here. And, of course, you know, the Ducks will bring out 702 more uniforms. Well, but really, what matters is that ring on your finger. And, unfortunately, they're not going to have one. And that's almost a little pathetic.
You don't put jerseys in your Hall of Fame. You don't put jerseys in your trophy case, okay? You put trophies in your trophy case, and they don't have one.
Chrome belongs on the car, not the helmet.
Exactly. Save it.
Also,
save it.
The Lakers coming out with a win. Sean Don will like that. The Lakers winning 99-98 in Houston. Ooh. Steve Blake, the game-winning three-pointer. And who needs Kobe Bryant at this point?
Hey, Steve Blake, former Blazer. Stone cold. He's a gamer. I'm telling you what right now. He's a gamer.
10 o'clock. That'll do it. We will hear you next Thursday live on the tailgate every Thursday night, 9 to 10, radio.dominican.edu. Follow us on Facebook and like us on Twitter. I said those wrong, but it doesn't matter.
You know what it is. It's social media. Get on it, people.
We're all
follow us.
That's Brock Beal. My name is Hunter Hornstein. I want to thank our guests, Sam Raines, Becca Shira, as well as the Don for telling us what we screwed up. Next Thursday, we'll hear you. Same guys, same place. Radio.dominican.edu. Tailgate out.
Go Trees.